Collaborator's note. The first time I remember meeting Danny was in the basement of a church in Prince George, British Columbia on March 14, 1999. The group was composed mostly of Indigenous First Nations men, and Danny fit right in. After doing a quick scan of the room, I did a double take when I saw him. I thought, I know that guy. I immediately felt foolish. I didn't know him, I merely recognized him the way millions of people around the world did. By 1999, Danny's face was so familiar, his menacing presence so ubiquitous from the scores of movies he'd been in like Heat, Con Air, and Blood In, Blood Out, I felt stupid I hadn't put two and two together. He was in Prince George for the same reason I was, to be in the John Frankenheimer film, Reindeer Games. It was my first night in Prince George and I was late to the party. An actor had fallen out of the project at the last minute and I was brought in as a replacement. The decision to take the job was agonizing. My first child, Finn, was only 5 days old, but I desperately needed the gig. My agency had dumped me and I had a family to support. Prince George was the most remote town I'd ever been in. It was a mining and logging town dominated by a mill, a casino, and a prison. I ditched the pre-shoot cast and crew party to find a meeting and settle my mind. Looking for the church, I passed two men I thought were slow dancing in the middle of a snowy street. Looking more closely, I realized they were blackout drunks engaged in the world's sloppiest slow-motion knife fight. Toward the end of the meeting, Danny shared. He mentioned doing time in San Quentin and made a reference to 1968. I was confused by the math. I was born in 1966. He had a lot of mileage on his face, but was extremely fit. It was conceivable I was older. After the meeting ended, I sought him out. Danny confirmed he was working on the flick and gave me some backstory as to what caused the casting change. Curious, I asked if he said he was born in 1968. What? No, Holmes. I got sober in 1968 in solitary in Soledad. I was 25 years old. I was stunned to find out he was closer to 60 than 30. He said, "We met before, Holmes." "No way, I would have remembered that," I said. "Didn't you used to be the janitor at the West Hollywood Drug and Alcohol Center?" "Yeah." "I met you there when you were cleaning a bathroom that looked like a crime scene. A toilet had exploded." "Wait, what? Did we talk?" "Yeah, you were one of the angriest motherfuckers I've ever met." I said, "If you were cleaning the bathroom at the Drug and Alcohol Center, I guarantee you'd be an angry motherfucker too." He laughed. "And now you're doing movies," he said. "You see what happens when people humble themselves and are willing to be a worker among workers, whatever the job?" I nodded. It was true. "How much time you got, partner?" I told him I'd been sober a little under 8 years since I was 25. "You got a sponsor?" I said I did, but he'd recently gone out. "I'm your sponsor now. I got your back. Stay close." From that day forward, Danny called me one of his partners. I joined an elite group, his mentors Frank Russo, Johnny Harris, and Sam Hardy, his friends Little Tony Pastor, George Perry, Eddie Bunker, Max Martinez, and Mario and Mikey Castillo, his sons Gilbert and Danny Boy, his daughter Danielle, Mary, Gloria, Chubby, Sal, Maeve, and others in his inner circle. Nearly everything he said was gold, wise, funny, pithy, at times clairvoyant. I gained more insight on life in those first few days walking around Prince George with Danny than I had in my previous 32 years. One night, Danny knocked on my hotel door and said we were going for a drive. As the car wound down a snowy, wooded highway, I asked where we were going. He said, "Be patient. You'll see." About a half an hour later, we came to a large house in the middle of a meadow. It turned out to be a home for troubled teens. Somehow, Danny had found out about it and called to say he was going to drop by, but told the guy who ran the place not to tell the kids. When they saw him walk through the door, they were in shock. We spent hours with those kids, and Danny talked with each and every one of them. His story of redemption left us all in tears, as many from laughter as heartbreak. On the drive back to Prince George, I asked Danny how he'd found out about the place, and he said, "Everywhere I go, I track down halfway houses and places like that. It's our job to reach out to these kids. Even dog pounds, Holmes. Visit dog pounds. Just think, those dogs are doing time. And from someone who did time, the thing you look most forward to when you're locked up is a visitor." The film itself was complicated for many reasons, the primary one being the weather wasn't cooperating. But to be honest, there was a lot of stress on set. There was an intense pressure to get everything Frankenheimer wanted on film on schedule. I remember meeting Ashton Kutcher. Although he'd finished the first season of That 70s Show, Reindeer Games was his first day on a film set. We did a take of him running out of a casino, and he privately confided in me he'd forgotten to wear the sunglasses he'd worn in the prior take. He asked if he should say something. Nope. It wasn't an environment where mistakes were tolerated. The main cast, which included Ben Affleck, Charlize Theron, and Gary Sinise, was great, but there were a couple of difficult personalities in the mix. None of the aforementioned, by the way. I told Danny about the difficulties I was having on set and the guilt I felt leaving home so soon after the birth of my son. "Fuck that asshole," he said of one particularly problematic person. "He'll get his, just stay cool. You're here to provide for your son. You'll see him in 2 days. Your job is to do what God wants you to do, to be a provider for your family and be happy, joyous, and free. If you aren't joyous, happy, and free, you aren't doing God's work for you." He finished his spiel by giving me a hug. "Don't worry, partner. I got your back." The last day of shooting in Prince George, the cast and crew faced the monumental task of getting 72 setups in the cam before losing light. The locations were so remote, if you stepped off the established paths, you'd sink in 8 feet of snow. We'd already had more than a few crew members quit because of the intensity of the environment. The final setup of the day was a shot where Gary, Danny, Clarence Williams III, and I rolled down the side of a hill in pursuit of Ben. The AD was screaming that we were losing light. The greens crew raked and brushed the steep hillside for almost an hour in a mad panic to clear it of boot prints and make the snow pristine. Balanced on the balls of my feet, I waited for the cameras to roll. After a series of delays, it was clear if we didn't roll in the next minute, we'd lose the shot. The tension was thick. In that moment, I lost my balance. The nanosecond my center of gravity shifted and I realized I was falling, I immediately thought of the wrath I'd incur of everyone who'd worked so hard to groom the hill, set the lights, focus the cameras. I knew Frankenheimer, who was brilliant and loving but not shy about tearing you a new one if he felt you deserved it, would unleash a torrent of abuse my way. And in the eyes of my fellow, much more famous cast members, I'd be viewed as an idiot. Pitching forward, arms flailing, I was internally gutted by the guilt of abandoning my child and failing at my job. Falling off that perch was my nadir, personally and professionally. Then, suddenly, miraculously, I found myself suspended in midair, my feet fully off the ground. Somehow, in the blink of an eye, Danny had grabbed the back of my coat and held me aloft as effortlessly as if I were a dish rag. I still don't know how he had the strength to one-arm me, a chunky 200-pounder, suspended in air over a snowy cliff. He gently pulled me back to my mark, to the exact spot my feet had been on 2 seconds earlier, and whispered, "I told you I got your back." The boom operator said sound speed, and the AD yelled, "Roll cameras!" He's had my back ever since. Donald Logue, Brooklyn, New York.